Thank you, Lord. How many are waiting patiently? Sometimes you have to wait patiently, even though it's the times of the microwave. And I wanted yesterday. With God, you have to wait. You cannot hurry God. So, thank you, musicians. I got a lot, so I'm not going to even use your time, and if I use your time, I want to use it wisely. My mom always said, when you use your friends, use them wisely. I don't know what she meant by that, but I thought she meant abuse them wisely, but I misunderstood probably. So let us bow our heads. Father, we thank you once again for allowing us to be in the house of the Lord tonight. Father, the place that I'd rather be tonight, Father, with the saints of God, believers, together fellowshipping around the world, and loving you and loving one another, Father, we thank you, and we appreciate everything you have done for us, Father. You are a good God, Father, and we thank you for your blessings, thank you for your love, thank you for your kindness. Thank you for caring for us and providing for us, Father. Father, I cannot see my life any longer without you. I'd be lost. I was lost before, so that's the alternative, and I sure don't like that one. I like to be with you. And we thank you, Father, because that is how you chose it to be. Thank you for loving us tonight. Thank you for caring for us. And we ask you as well that touch our pastor, Lord, and physically give him strength, refresh him. Father, he works hard, Father. He pours himself out every Sunday and every Wednesday. I don't know how he do that. I cannot do that. But I'm glad that, Father, you chose a man and you conditioned the man and you prepared that man to do certain things. But we're still man. We're still flesh. So we need a strength, Lord. We ask him to give him a good rest, Father. And we thank you for everything you have done for us so far. And we cannot wait what you're going to do for us tonight, Father. We love you and we thank you. In the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ, amen and amen. You can be seated. I should have got this started anyway, but let's see. Just give me a minute and we get this electronics going. Okay, here we are. So tonight we are going to endeavor to speak about a closer walk with God, because that is in my mind since I begin this year. I want to have a closer walk with him. In fact, this is what all this journey it is. So we can come closer. We come so close that we just completely disappear. Really, that's what this walk is all about. And tonight I'd like to see how and show you how do we go walk closer to God. Maybe you already know. Maybe you think you know. But I don't know everything. So I don't expect anybody to know everything. But everybody says if you find someone that knows everything, just be aware. Because no one knows everything. I know some things, but not everything. But tonight I'd like to see if I can go through those verses that show us how to walk closer to him. Because that is what we want this year. In fact, that is my, whatever you want to call it, my goal this year, my objective is I want to be closer than I've ever been before. I'm not satisfied at this point here. I'm not satisfied. And I know you are not either. Why? Because there must be more to have. Because you know, my heart desires more. So if it's more, I want more. I'm not satisfied in where I am at this point. Not that I'm disappointed. In fact, I like what how God has brought me this far. But I want to go further than that. I don't want to put a period, you know, and that's it. This is all, because it's not all. I have not seen, ear have not heard what God has prepared for his children. So there must be more. And if it's more, I want it. That is my determination. That is my goal. That is my decision. I want to be all that he wants me to be. And I know that I'm not what I want to be yet, so must be more. So I'm determined to do whatever I have to do to get there. At least that is my heart desire. I might try and fail, I might do the wrong things, but my heart desire is to do my best this year to get as close as I can get. I don't know if we have another year. And last year is gone. So we have to live every day determined, Amen. You know, Amen. Persistent. Yes. Because we cannot just lay back and relax and say, well, maybe next year or maybe next month or maybe next day. Well, that kind of a condition, you know, there's no, you know, kind of a motivation or initiative with those kind of talks. We have to live every day. I heard somebody saying, go big or go home. If you are not ready to give it all, let's go home. I don't want to waste my time. I made this effort because I want to get as much as I can get tonight. And if you don't want your portion, let me have it. If I pray, give it all to Eli. Maybe I would not know what to do with it, but just go ahead. I know you want your part. So here, why do we have to walk closer to God? So, the closer you walk to God, the stronger you get. In fact, the closer you walk to God, the happier you get. So when you see a person that is happy all the time, and it doesn't matter what comes to life, what ordeals come, what challenges, what trouble, and even in the midst of all that, they're still smiling, and they're still at peace, you know, that's a person that is strong, where he's walking closer than some of us. That we had to complain and frown and murmur. Not you guys, I'm talking in general, no? Because Peter says, you know, rejoice. James says, when you are put to test for trouble, situation, you know, be happy. Who wants to be happy when you're having pains? But you know what I mean? Your heart, your attitude is what I'm going to indicate. Because people are going to see you at work and everywhere. And they're going to see your reaction. You know, life throws a lot of things at you, but people are watching you because you're saying you are a Christian. So if you are a Christian, let's see what this challenge will produce. Are you going to complain or are we going to praise the Lord and be happy? Because anyway, sometimes also we want to walk closer to God because sometimes, you know, you will not have every, you know, people. Like your pastor, your church, sometimes you don't have someone to encourage you. You know, maybe you're in the woods or you're working somewhere in Benson or you are out on vacation and your pastor is not around, the church is not around, brother and sister is not around. So, and you need a little bit of encouragement. You need a little bit of help. You need somebody to push you. You feel down, you know. You feel stressed, depressed, you know. Whatever, and you don't find nobody. But there's one that is always with you, never forsake you, and never leave you. And the way you walk with him, it determines how you're going to get out of those situations where nobody is around to encourage you. That's why we come to church and we depend on him, not on the church. No, I'm not saying nothing wrong. We depend on people, we depend on brothers and the pastor, but mainly we depend on him. Because he's the one that says, I will not forsake you. I will not leave you. I will care for you. See? Sometimes I can fail you. Sometimes the pastor, sometimes the church will fail you. But he will never fail you. So it behooves us to walk as close as we can with our Lord Jesus Christ. Because when everything else fails, he will not fail. I can fail you. We can fail you. He will never fail you. So Sometimes it's good to know him that way as well. And one more thing. Closer walk with God is an ongoing process. You know, it's something that is progressive. Until we reach maturity. Until we reach perfection. And as far as I know, none of you are there yet. I'm not there yet. I still got some shortcomings. I still got some, I made mistakes and errors. So, and I'm not saying, you know, the day that I don't make mistakes, I made the right choices, you know, I'm there. That's not my evidence. I'm saying we do make mistakes. But I want to be so close to him, so close to him that I can learn, so I can develop, so I can grow. So I can mature until I come to the stature of the perfect man that is Jesus Christ. That is my goal. And to do those things, we have to do certain things. First thing we have to do if we want to closer to God, is you have to have a heart desire. I think I'm going to read that now. Psalm 63. Yeah, we can start there. Okay, right there. It says, "O God, thou art my God," says, "early will I seek thee." As soon as you wake up in the morning and your eyes are open, not when you, in the evening and you're tired, now you're going to seek God. Your body don't want to do anything anyway. Seek him, my soul is thirsting for thee. See, not for anything in the world. We're not thirsting for, you know, a day we are thirsty for thee. My flesh longeth for thee. Body, soul, mind, spirit, everything is desiring God. That's how you wake up in the morning? Okay, I'm quiet. Okay. That's what we're going through this. I want you to look at the scriptures and see where we are. If we are not, there's still time. We're still here. So when we wake up in the morning, is everything wants to praise the Lord? Or, oh, man, I heard here. Oh, I heard that. I don't know if I want to go to work. You know, we want to do those things, right? Says, "The in a dry and thirsty land where no water is." And that's what Brother Brown told us. We're living in a day that is a, you know, drought. For the hearing of the word, not from the word, for the hearing of the word. But we are not going hungry. We are not going thirsty. And if you do, it's because you want to. We got enough. The table has been set. The word comes. God wants to bless you. God wants to feed you. God wants to, you know, but it depends on how your desire is going to be. Your desire will determine how well you're going to be fed. If you're thirsty all the time, you know, in the physical sense, if you're not longing for food, well, you know, that means that you're going to have to run and find somewhere to satisfy those needs. Listen, God will satisfy all your spiritual needs. No? But what is our desire? So, in verse, I think, yeah, the second verse says, to see, this is what my heart desires, the Bible says, to see the power and thy glory every day in everything I do. You know, God is everywhere. The heavens and the earth, the world, tells his glory. He speaks every day. And that is why we need to wake up every morning, desiring to hear from God. Desiring to see the power and thy glory in our lives. Even if it's just the little things, you know. Because if God can take care of my little things, I know God can take care of my big things. Because he satisfied me every way. Even in my small little desires, he's there for me. So as I have seen thee in the sanctuary, see, walking with Jesus requires a deep longing, a deep desire. And it's just a concept. I can tell how much you love God, how much you desire God. But you're here, right? You could be any place else. But you want more. You want more, God. You're longing. You desire. Secondly, it says, love like he loved us. That will be the second thing. John 13 says, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another, just as I have loved you. You also are to love one another. By this, all people, all men, we know that you are my disciples. If you have love for one another. So, if we keep showing love among ourselves, then people can see that we are his disciples. Why? Because love requires, you know, like God loved us first, anyway, as the Bible says, and then we know how to love, see? Because first he loved us, now we know how to return that love back. Before I didn't know how to love, now I know how to love. So we don't have no excuse. And Jesus said, love one another as I love you. Not to love, you know, the one that you prefer or we prefer. He says, love one another. He says, and all by this that you are my disciple. And this is the way God loved us. He was unconditionally, see? He was not selfish with his love. He did not just hold back. He loved us until he died in the cross. He served us. He served the bride with love. Just like the Bible tells us, husband, love your wives, see? And when you love your wife, you serve your wife. You take care of your wife. You make sure you protect them. You secure them. You provide for them. And that's what God will do for us. Because when you love somebody, you take care of somebody. And if we love one another, we need to take care of one another. Amen? So love, it says, as I love you, that's a concept as well. Because I can tell how much you love him by the way you love one another. That's just a concept. He said, love one another as I love you. So the way you love me, tell me how much you love God. Because you cannot tell me, I love God. God and me are like this. I love God. But if you said that you love God and you don't love your brother, what that means? You know what the Bible says? It's a lie. See? And you can lie to yourself, but you cannot lie to everybody. Not all the time. The way you treat others is the way, is the concept. It's the way you see God treats you. If you treat others the way God treats you, we will be in heaven by now. See? So, it is just like a concept. Love, desire. Love, not only for God, but for one another. And then the third one is obey his commandments. You want to walk closer to God, we have to obey his commandments. 1 John 2:3-6 says, and thereby we do know, see, how do we know? By experience, you know, by a daily walk is how we know God. Because God do things to us, you know, he expresses himself. He saves us. He heals us. We hear his word, the teaching, and we learn. That's how we learn from God. He says that we know him. See? Thereby, if we do know that we know him, you perceive him, recognize him, understand. We claim that we understand, that we have the word, and we are very acquainted with God, and we one, you know, with God. Then, if we keep his commandments, see, observe his commandments, then we practice them, not only listening, but what? But acting. So the Bible says, if you think, you know, if you believe, and you know, or you recognize, and you know that you know God, then you should do what? His word. So another concept, if I want to know if you really, really know God, then I just see how much you do his word, do his commandments. Because the more you do, the more you love them. The more you do, it's because you care. The more you do, just like mom and dad, you know, and the children. You know, how much do you love? Mom, go and take the garbage out. Why? That's not loving. See? By obeying. See? God's word tells me how much you know him. Because Jesus was our model. Jesus was our pattern. Jesus was our example. And he served. And he humbled himself. He came as a servant. He didn't come to be served. He wanted to serve. See, he loved. He loved even the prostitute. He loved everyone. He didn't have any respect to a person. He didn't love just the one that loved him. He loved even this enemy, even when he was in the cross. And that's the kind of love, unconditional love, that we need to have. So, and that kind of love also obeys his commandments. Because we love him, we obey. Because children love mom, we obey his commandments. So walking with him is obeying him, obeying his word. So, you know what the word says. You appreciate all the time. You read it, you pray. So if we do his word, then we know in whom we have believed. 4 says, and he that says, I know him. See, him that says, well, I understand God. I recognize God. I'm in the message. See? But does not keep. You know, if you fail to keep what? His word. His teachings. Is what? I'm not saying it, but the Bible says a liar. See? I'm not calling anybody a liar, but that's what the Bible says here. And the truth is not in him. So they can profess that they know, but they don't. The truth is not in them because their life manifests other than what the word says. If you love God, you come to church. If you love God, you pray. If you love God, you read your Bible. If you love God and you love his word, you love one another. Plainly, that's all. Why? Because that is what the love of God will produce in you and me. Cannot produce nothing less than produce for Christ. The same spirit that was in Christ will produce the same thing in you if you have the spirit of God. Now, if you have the spirit of a robber or Derringer, then, you know, or maybe a great pianist, you will be great in those things. But if you have the spirit of God, what will you produce? You have to reproduce him. And how do I know you will reproduce him? By our manifestation. What's going on in your life? What's going on every time you hear the word? What's going on every time you're home, at work? You know, what's going on every time you hear preaching, when you pray? What is your life doing? Or are we just doing it just to do it? It's a progressive walk. But the progressive walk is that we walk until we become the word of God. Jesus was the word. He became that. Amen? So, 5 says, but whosoever keepeth his word, you know, you practice, you observe his word, you do what he says. See, not in part, in whole, you know. In him truly the love of God is perfected, completed. See? If we do, if we keep his word, see, now we can grow, we can reach to maturity. Why? Because we're walking close to him and we're obeying his commandments. Is that simple enough? To obey him? Amen. Whoever says he abide in him, and he abides in me by the Holy Spirit. And I can say that he did, fill me with the Holy Ghost. So if you are full with the Holy Ghost, you're a Christian that is filled, then if he abide in him, act to walk in the same way in which, what? He walks. There's no other choice. There's not an option. Either we do or either we don't. And I said we make mistakes. We do make mistakes. But if you're claiming that you have the Holy Ghost, you have to walk like he walked. That is your pattern. That is your example. Not me, not the church, not the pastor. He is your example. And I know how close you're walking to him by seeing the manifestation of Christ. That's what we want. We sing, oh, to be like Jesus. Do you know what you're singing? You're singing that if you want to be like him, you have to walk like him. However, you don't have to do it. You don't have to try to manufacture. If you got the Holy Ghost that is him in you, he will make you. All we have to do is surrender the flesh and let it have its way. And that is the hardest part. Desire then. Love one another. Love his word. Be obedient. Yeah, we are doing this thing this year. And let's do it as much as we can. It's never enough. As much as we can, every time you hear the word, every time you have an opportunity to pray, every time you have an opportunity to read your Bible, every time you have an opportunity to help, every time you have an opportunity to be nice, to be kind to one another, let it be so. Because by your actions, you know, it's by your action that people know who you are, not by what you profess to be. If you profess something and it don't match your actions, we're lying. We don't want to lie. And this could be different for every individual. Every Christian here is different because in the sense that we are not in the same level. So, but you know where you are. I'm going to reach you in a quote. And you know what you are. And you know where you need to be. See? That's why you don't have to put your eyes on nobody else. This is not a competition. And if you're higher than this guy, you know, don't try to blame the guy that he's not doing what you're doing. Don't blame the guy, but suck it up. You know, look at me. No, we're in different levels. We need to be patient with one another. We need to tolerate one another. We need to help one another. We need to provoke one another to what? To good works. If somebody's not there yet, pray for them. Help them to get there. Not just sit there like, you know, I made it this far, you know. So if I could, you can too. Well, that's true, though. But not with that kind of a attitude. Now, the next thing will be delight, pleasure in his word. You know, Psalm 1, verses 1 and 2. Blessed or happy is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, or following the advice of other people, you know, worldly people, or maybe planning, you know, thinking that he's smart enough to plan, you know, that he don't need anybody else. But counsel of ungodly, nor stand in the way of sinners. See, we're not conforming to this world. See? Not sit in the seat of scoffers. See, those are the people that want to relax. And they want to rest and they want to mock everybody else. But why do I have to go to church every day? Or why do I have to do this? Or why do I have to do that? Well, I don't know. I know what I know. And I know what the Bible says. But that's not what it means. Well, in the meantime, since I don't know what it means and you do, then let me, just leave me alone. Until God tell me what it means. But I think that's what it means. But sometimes they get too educated. They get so smart for themselves. You know, for their own downfalls. They're too smart for themselves, I think. So what I'm talking about here, that it is not a book of ethics, or because we obey the law, like it says in verse 2, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. See? His delight, his desire is in the word of God. And on his law, in the teachings and instruction and preaching that we hear, he says, he meditates. Meditates what? Last week? Or maybe 2 days ago? Meditate. You read, you study, you pray. You know, every day. Every night. So that's what it means. That's our delight. You know, I like a lot of stuff. I mean, like ice creams, and I like desserts, and I like candies. And I meet him all the time that I can. And that is just the flesh. You like to delight yourself in doing certain things, and you want to, if it wasn't because you got to go home and you got to work and make money, you'd be doing it all the time. People that like fishing, I don't like fishing, but that don't mean anything. I'm not less than someone that likes fishing. But if you like to be fishing better than being at work, that's your delight, right? Some people want to do that. Or run to the mountains, I don't know, whatever. You find delight in the physical sense. Well, we should have more. I'll say more than that. We should delight ourselves in the Lord. So when the body gets together, that is how my delight. When the preaching going forward, when the Bible studies. Well, I don't know, another day. Oh, my goodness, Wednesday, Friday, and Sunday, 2 hours. But maybe that's not your delight. I will check on, you know, on your delights there. Because first, him in my life. And everything else is second. So if this church opened 5 days a week, how many will make that your delight? I didn't hear a big gay amen. Go open the store 5 days a week. When the pastor preaches 2 hours, 3 hours, are we complaining? Oh, that's my delight. I don't hear no, go on, you know, preach it, brother. I don't hear none of that stuff. I mean, if that's really your delight, you will do that. So where is your delight at? You know, it is to do the right things anyway. Not only to think the right things, but to do the right things. It will be my delight. Now, the next thing is also to walk in the light. When we want to walk closer to God, we have to walk in his light, in the light of the hour. But if we walk in the light, see, really not living in the light of today, not of yesterday, today, as he is in the light, who? God is in the light because God is light. He said, we have fellowship with complete true fellowship. Not unbroken fellowship, here and there and somewhere. No. Every time the doors open, we have fellowship. So what is your desire? What is your delight? To be obedient, to come. And not make excuses. No, I know. That sometimes we got to work, sometimes things happen. I'm not talking about those things. But where is your heart at? Because wherever your heart at, that is your treasure. Amen. So on Sundays, what is your heart at? On Wednesday, what is your heart at? What do you desire to do on those days? I'm not, you know, trying to do a guilt trip. I'm just trying to show you what the Bible says. That wherever your heart is, that's where your treasure is at. Amen. Now, that's what God says. He says, but walk in the light, as he's in the light, and we have fellowship complete through fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, I mean, hey, you do this, I do this. And the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses, removes all from what? Sins. Every doubt that we had, every mistake. But it's a condition. You come, I do this. Because when we come to church, that's just what happened. The word of God come forward and it scrub us and it wash us and it free us from our doubts. See? So he says, you do that and I do this. So how many of you want to be always clean, pure, and ready for his coming? You get this here. Here the word goes forward and it scrub you clean. And when you feel here, you feel better than you came in. I know you do because I do something. Right. See? And that's how I want to feel. Amen. Brother Brown said in Shalom, again, this is also a New Year's message, walking closer to him. New Year's. What about it? Bring new hope. We are 1 year closer. Closer to what? We are 1 day closer than we were yesterday. We are 1 hour closer than we were when I started 15 years ago, or 15 minutes to 11. It's 15 minutes till 12 now. We are 1 hour closer. We don't look back. We look what?
Forward.
Forward. And this is what I want to do this year. Forget about what happened yesterday, and let's move forward. Whatever happened yesterday, whatever mistake, whatever error, whatever happened yesterday, leave it behind. And we start a new page this year. And we want to get closer to him. So let's start doing everything that requires for us to get closer and closer to God. Man, so he's saying, don't look back. I made a lot of mistakes that year, but I'm not looking back. You know, that chapter is closed. No sense to go back and open it to see what I did. I already know what I did. And I know what I need to do now this year. So I won't repeat what I did last year. And that's what I want to do with his help. Just move forward. It says, Philippians, Paul says, but what things were gained to me, to me, those account loss for Christ. So why he's saying, my former life is gone. Yesterday, the former life, that's gone. We don't need to look. No gain in there. You're not going to gain anything revisiting back memories, in going through memory lane.
to see what happened last year. What happened, happened. Now let's learn and let's move forward this year. He says, yeah, doubtless I count all things but loss for the excellency, see, of the knowledge of Christ, Jesus my Lord. See, he had a walk with God, deep walk with God, Paul. But he's saying, forgetting, giving for loss. He says, even what he thought he knew, that he didn't know. But he had an intimate walk with God. He knew God. He said, for whom I have suffered the loss of all. See? So, if we want to walk closer to God, we're going to have to be willing to sacrifice a little bit more. What happened last year? It happens. Let it go. But now let's sacrifice more this year to do the things that we need to do. Forget about yesterday. Yesterday's gone. And the future's not here. It's just right now. God is an ever-present God. It's right now what matters. Amen. Tomorrow, he has his own cares. But today is what we need to worry about, the day that we are living. So let's forget and let's move forward. We made mistakes. We did what we did. But God forgave us. He cleansed us. Now we move forward this year. A new blank page. And you can write whatever you want to. You have a new blank page this year. How do you want your life to be read this year? You can write it. You are the pen. It's the ink. Write your life today. You know? Oh, yes, sir. New year doesn't mean turning a new page. Uh-uh. He said, no. Turn a new page is turn to what? To the Word. See? What the Word promised for today. So that's what we have to have knowledge of, what the Word promised for today and what the Word says we should do and how we should do it. See? He says, and see what the light of the day is supposed to be. We know what the light, the evening light. We have a message. So what we ought to do this year is not go back to creeds or things. See? Never go back to our old denomination. Not go back to our old denomination, but turn to the Word. He said, see what kind of light is supposed to shine today. Oh, church, turn to the Word. Get back to the Word. Flip the right switch. Quit punching around an electric light. See, artificial, man-made. Turn to His Word and see the promise of today. And then see what the promise is. And watch for its identification. What is its identification? What he tells us now. When it's vindicated. Then you know whether you are in the light or not. See, if we believe God and we believe His Word for the day. And you, that Word becomes flesh. It becomes a manifestation, a vindication of that Word. I know we're in the right track. Because He's vindicating His Word. This message has been over-vindicated. In fact, you and I don't need to vindicate this Word. This Word is good. It's been proven more time after time after night. All we need to do is just believe it and walk in it. And let us identify with the light of the day, with the message of the day. Brother Barnes says, let's go back to the Word. We don't need to have, resolutions. I'm going to lose weight. That's a good resolution anyway. Well, I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. But how many made resolutions this year that you are going to obey the Word, that you're going to follow the Word, that you are going to continue meditating and desiring and loving God and loving His people? If we're going to make this resolution, let's make that resolution. Lord, I'm going to follow You this year, even if it kills me. And that's all right. You cannot be killed anyway. You're absent of your body, you got another body. So that don't even make any sense, right? This body has to die. 1 Corinthians 1:7-9 says, So that ye come, he says, behind in no give. He said, waiting for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Brother Doug spoke about this. He says, No, who shall also confirm you. See, establish you. He will vindicate this word. Bring it to manifestation. He will do that. He says, you unto the end. See, it's guaranteed. The one that started the work is going to take me to the end. There's no problem with none for God. God will do what he promised to do. It's us that we need to get, you know, in step with God and his word. But whatever he promised, he will do. He says, he guarantee. See, he will vindicate it. He will prove it. He will prove his word, that his word is good. How? In you, in you, and you. All we have to do is just believe it. And that will be the vindication. Lord, I believe. And let him take care. Listen, you don't have to vindicate his word. He has to. See? You don't have to prove anything. He has to. Just believe it. And you speak it. And let's see what happens. That is your light. That is your vindication that you're following the right things this year. Who shall confirm? Who shall establish it? See, that ye may be blameless, no shame, no guilt. See, free. That's what that word proves to me. Every time I believe that word, I know. That's why we said, make sure that your election is sure. Your calling and your election. Why? Because if your election is right, and you know your calling, and you know who you are, this thing had to happen in your life. If not, we are lying to ourselves. And I know there's no liars here. The only liar is Satan. That's the only liar that I know. No shame, no guilt, no reproach. In the day of our Lord Jesus Christ, when he comes, he promised that. 9, God is faithful. He's reliable. He will not fail. God is dependable. God is trustworthy. See? By whom you were called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. So if we have been calling to his fellowship, and we all calling to his fellowship, then we all have fellowship with the same one. No, we're different. We're having fellowship with the Word, walking with Jesus. Ephesians 2:10. For we are his workmanship, his handiwork, created in Christ Jesus. We are a new creation now, he said, unto good works, which God had before ordained, God had predestined, see, that he should walk in them. God already has purpose. He has a purpose for you. He has a purpose for me. He has a purpose for all of us. And if we yield ourselves to that purpose, he will bring it to pass. He will make sure that we are what we're supposed to be, that we grow, that we mature, and he will vindicate that you are one of his, that he called you, that he elect you by bringing the word to pass in your lives. That is the vindication. And he called us unto good work. He foredained that we can walk in it. So God has a purpose. The only thing we have to yield to his will tonight, do what he says to do. Be obedient to his word. And he will guide us and lead us through Jesus Christ. Colossians, he's our from the beginning. He says, therefore, as you receive Christ Jesus, the Lord, so what? So walk in him. You want a close worker to God? Then look at Jesus. Look at how he walked. If we are a continuation of his ministry, then we should be walking like he walked. No more, no less. We should be doing exactly what he was doing. It's impossible. Yes, it's impossible for the flesh. I agree with you. That is impossible if we try to do it in ourselves. But if you let God to be God and you yield your body to him, it's not impossible for God to make you, to use you for his good work. He already predestined you for all that before the foundation. He will bring his word to pass in you. No, it's hard if we try to do it. But I don't have to try to do anything. All I got to try is to get out of the way. Because I'm in the way. See? Get this flesh out of the way and let him have his way every day. Because, like I said, I'm my worst enemy, and you are your worst enemy. See? So walk as he walked. See? We became believers, we became full of the Holy Ghost, and that's how our walk started in that moment. And then we start being obedient to his word. And we start walking with Jesus and walk and walk. And we follow his leading. See? He called the disciples and he asked the disciples, follow me. See? And it's the same calling today. He's calling us to follow him. See? So he will help us. He will regulate our lives. He will help us in our conducts. I mean, he's the one that is going to take your body. You know what a regulator do? You know, we have many regulators. I know water has regulators for the pressure. And, you know, the gas tanks have regulators, you know, so you don't get more than you're supposed to. So God will regulate our lives. All we have to do is trust him. Amen? Because this is already preordained from the beginning of the world. He already knew you before you was even born. And he already predestined you to do certain things. And like I was saying, that all the gifts, as I read you, are here. You are lacking no gift because he gave you something. You call for a purpose. So we need one another because those gifts is what he used for us to grow and keep the church clean. So we need one another in order to help each other to grow. That's the gift, the fivefold ministry. You need the fivefold ministry. And then you need the gift that is in the body. Because that's how God's ordered the things. And the only reason he did that is for us to grow, to mature. See? So, if we need one another in order to mature and grow and develop as good Christians that we should be, according to the word of God, staying home is not going to mature you. You see, it makes no sense to me because God has an order. And the order is you need the fivefold ministry and you need the gifts in order to perfect the what? The bride. To perfect one another. So if you say, but I don't need a pastor or I don't need a church. I do at home. I listen to tapes. Okay. So what you're telling me is that you have the fivefold ministry gift, and you got the rest of the 12 gifts in the Bible, so you're going to perfect yourself, your wife, and your children. Tell me how that works out so far. If you have one gift, I give it to you. In fact, if you have two gifts, I give it to you. Whatever two gifts you want. See? And let's say that your wife has another one. Okay, that's three gifts. And you think with three gifts, you know, you're going to perfect yourself at home. That's not God's way. It don't make any sense. Some people, you know, today, they don't want authority over themselves. They don't want to have a pastor. See? But how are you going to perfect yourself without having what God already preordained that this is the way things are going to be? We need to obey. We cannot try to figure things. Who can figure? Who knows the mind of God? Were you there when he was ordaining and creating? Nobody. It was a referee telling them what to do, what not to do? No. The best thing that we can produce is a filthy rag. Your best work, my best work, is a filthy rag. That's all. So those people that want to say, well, we don't need pastors, and we don't need this, and even a tape. Well, Brother Brown had all the gifts. And he was a preacher, he was an evangelist, he was this and that, a bitch, and the whole thing. Okay. But he's not here with us. How is that going to work? How that is going to, bring me to perfection? I need you, I need you, I need all the gifts in the body, plus the fivefold ministry. Now, I only got one gift or two gifts. But you need it. But you also have one or two gifts. I need them. In order to bring ourselves to perfection. Now, another thing that I wanted to cover here is cultivate the love of Jesus. You know, you have to nurture the love of Jesus. You have to, just like a plant, like a seed, you have to water, you have to put nutrients. You have to grow. Psalm 119, 132 says, "Look, thou upon me," he says, "and be merciful unto me, as thou usest to do unto those that love thy name." See, walking with him, love for him. See, God will love you. We come to church, but we need to water his word. Who is that? Who is responsible to water the word that is going out? You guys. See, you have to provide like a seed. You have to put it in the ground, and you have to cover it, and you have to provide lights. The light of the gospel, you know. The preaching, the light, the word comes forward. You have to provide nutrients. You have to water. You have to do. You have to clean it up, but it's a lot of weeds around it, you know. Well, who had to nurture? Who had to cultivate the love of God in our lives? See, we need to make a way for God to come into our hearts and let him share his love. But a heart has to be prepared for that. See? That's why he took our stony heart. A stony heart, nothing grows in a stony heart. I tried one time. You can throw a seed and it will burn, or the wind will take it away. That's why he had to change our heart and give us a soft one. Why? Because that is the only way you're going to love you, and he's going to love you, and he's going to put that love in your heart. But we need to let him and his word, and let that love grow, you know? So we have to nurture that love when we come to church. It's not enough that you hear the word. That word has to fall in the right ground always. And we have to nurture that so we can grow and we can walk and we can love him more and more. So the more we love him, the more we know him, the more we love him, the more we grow and walk and walk. You know, like Brother Doug was saying, push and push forward, you know, all the time. Once you hear that word, just make sure, do whatever you need to do to get that word to come forward. Push, you know. We want to walk closer to his heart. I like what God said about David. He says, he's a man after my own what? Heart. Don't you like to hear those words said about you? That your main purpose in life is just to get after his own heart. His heart is his word. See, I want to be full of his word. You know, I want to be full from my top of my head to my bottom of my feet. You know, how we do that? We just come and we just take as much as we can. Just get full of it until your cup overflow. Listen, a little fish in the ocean say, "Oh, I better not drink it now because I'm going to drink the whole ocean." No, sir. You can have your part and everybody else that don't want their part, you can have it too. No? Just as much as you want. God is here to fill you. Well, how much do you want? Oh, well, I'm fed up already. No, that's how African says, you know. Instead of saying, "I'm full," say, "I'm fed up." You know? You're not going to drown. Just keep swimming, keep drinking, keep pushing, keep dreaming. You know, until that becomes you. I want the word to become me. It says, "And he will make himself known to you." God is faithful. Now, seek him wholehearted and believe that you will find him. Matthew 7:7. That's another way that we can grow closer to him. Ask. Not ask one time. Keep asking. Keep asking. Keep asking. If it's not happening, keep asking. Keep asking. You know, like that lady, that old lady that went to the guy because she wanted justice. And she kept going. And she goes every day. And she called. And she sends email. And she called him everywhere, text. But she didn't do it one time. The Bible says she was persistent. And you need to be that persistent, not ask. Well, I asked him last year, but ask, continue ask until it happens. You know, God gets tired of it? No, he don't get tired of it. That's why he gave us that parable. Be persistent. Ask. And it shall be given unto you. I used to do my children the same way, you know. They would ask me for things or sometimes permission, ask me for permission to go somewhere. So they ask me, and then they leave, and if they don't come back, you know, I figured it wasn't that important. And the same thing with God. If you ask, and then you just go on your own, and you think that God is going to say, well, you look like you really, really, really want it. But when they kept on, you know, my grandchildren, oh, my goodness, I want one of those. You have already too many. No, I don't have one of those. Yes, you got 10 of those. And they keep going, Papa, Papa, I want, give me this, give me that, or I want an ice cream, whatever. Or we go. But, you know, the reason I give it to them because they are persistent and I need to get ready of them. And the only way I can ready of them, just give it to them. So that's what happened to that lady. She was so persistent that the judge got so sick and tired, says, just give it to her just to get rid of her, you know, so she won't come back anymore. So ask, ask, keep asking. If you're not happy with your life, keep asking. Lord, what do I need? What do I want? I don't know. What do I want? I don't know what is in my heart. I don't even know how to ask you or what to ask you. Just keep asking then. Lord, I don't know what the question is. And I don't even know what the answer is, but I know I have a need. I have a longing. I have a desire. Keep asking. Asking. And it shall be given unto you. You think God is going to tell you to ask him and so he can say, no, I cannot give it to you? You know, that's just like me. I can do that to my children and to my grandchildren. I said, well, whenever you need something, ask me. When they ask me, I said, no, you don't need that. But you told me to ask. Yeah, but not that. And God will do that to you sometime. God will say, well, he knows what you have need of. But sometimes we ask and we ask amiss. But see, God knows what is better for you. So just because you ask and you know happen, keep asking. Because one of these days, God is going to give you what you have need. It might not come the way you wanted it. It might come a different way. But it's what you need. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. You know, just like I said, my grandchildren, they lose toys, and they want something. The other day, where is my flashlight? I said, I don't know. You had it up there. Go and see if it's in the room. No, no, no. I already checked. I said, but go. No, no, why don't you go and look for me? No, no, no. They're just telling God, go and look for me. No. Do you want it that bad? Go get it. Do you want it that bad? Knock. It says, knock, and it shall be open. How bad do you want things? See? How bad do we want to be good Christians? Well, how bad do we want to come to church? Because it requires to come to church to be a good Christian. You say, well, I don't need. Yes, you will. That's the God way of doing things. We need to work on each other. We need to perfect each other, you know, with the gift and everything. Now, the next thing is follow his example. If we want to walk with God, we need to follow his example. It says over here in 1 Peter 2:21, For to do this you have been called. Like I said, make your calling and election sure. Because Christ also suffered for you, it says, leaving you, you know, an example. Listen, we wouldn't have no excuses that day. Because we had an example right in front of us all these years. He said, because you had an example, so that you might follow his steps. Don't blame the pastor. Don't blame the church. Don't blame your boy. Find out if you're following the right steps. If you're following him, and I'm following him, and you following him, Brother Chris, and we follow him, Brother Mike, if we're following him, don't you think we get to the same place? Because we're not looking on, I'm not looking unto you, or you, or you are looking unto him. And if we all looking unto him, we will get in the same place. But what happened is we have different ideas. I don't know why some people follow, but I want to follow his example. And you know, it's not a hard thing because not only he died for us, but he came to live in us. So if you don't know which way to go, ask him. You know, follow his example. And if you don't understand the example, ask. Because he's ready to answer you. Amen. And we are instructed to give our best effort for his cause. And we need to surrender everything that we have. Now, next thing, now know that walking with Jesus grant us the desire of our heart. Now, John 15:7 says, if you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. It doesn't sound too hard, but you have to abide in him. That means you have to do everything he tells you to do. You will receive whatever we ask. Now, of course, it's a trick to this, or it's a thing to this, that he will be faithful to give it to you, but you have to be faithful to walk for him and do everything he tells you. Because as you go closer and closer to him, his desire becomes your desire. The closer you get to him, his desire becomes your desire. So when you're asking him for something, what you're asking him for, what he already wants for you. So you cannot go wrong with that. See? So he gives you the desire and he gives you the do, but he also gives you the way. He opens the door for you. So every time you have a desire, because he will give you a desire. Brother Doug was talking about this, but this desire, he will meet it as well. So if we are walking closer to Jesus, and the closer we walk, you can ask everything you want to. But what you're asking is something that he already put in you to ask. He will never put something in your heart that he cannot provide for you. So if you're walking with God and you have a desire, he says, delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you what? But it's not your desire. It's his desire in you. Amen. So when we say, oh, well, let's pray. God is going to give me whatever I ask him. Well, yeah. Whatever is according to his will, not yours. Now, one more thing, and I'd like to include this one, and this is the last one, patience. I think I did pretty good. And I need to go back to wherever so I can. And the last time I preached for 2 hours. Don't worry, I'm not going to keep it 2 hours. Patience. Shalom. Again, same message. Patience, he says. Patience. Some of us get in such of a hurry. See? I think many of good men has done that. He says, you get too much of a hurry. You want to do it yourself. That's what I mean, getting in a hurry. Like living in the age of the microwave. I want it and I want it yesterday. And we ask God for things and we want it right now. See? But he said, don't get in a hurry. That is where people get disinterested sometimes. That's where people get dismayed. That's why people sometimes don't come to church. Why? Because they're in a hurry. Well, I went to church and this is not happening. But just wait on the Lord. And he will give you the desires. Just to do what you're supposed to do. Read your Bible. Pray. Come to church. Praise God. Do what we're supposed to do. Obey the word. Walk in that, in his footsteps. Follow him. See, that's the part we do. And then after you have done all, what the Bible said, wait. And that's the part sometimes we get in trouble. If we want to walk closer to God, we have to wait. Romans 5:1-4. Sometimes God wants to know how to test you anyway. So if he give you something every time you ask for something, what happens if you give your child everything they want when they want it? Or you spoil them rotten. God don't want to spoil you rotten. God want to make sure that you get tested. Do you want it? How bad do you want it? See? How bad do you want it? He says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace where we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations. See? knowing that tribulation works what? Sometimes we go through things. We go through circumstances. We go through ordeals. We go through troubles and things. But you know what God is doing? Making sure that you start having some patience. Why? Patient with yourself, patient with others, and patient with God. See? It says, knowing what to work is patience. So every time you get into any situation, be patient. Because in your patience, the Bible says, for, and patience brings experience. And experience brings what? Hope. You know, the faith. Faith is the hope, what we're looking at, it says. Now, Luke 21:19 says, in your patience, you shall possess what? Your soul. You see how important it is to be patient? Not only with yourself, be patient with one another. I'm a work in progress. They are a work in progress. Be patient. If you're already there, then try to bring me to that level. If you're higher than me, then try to pull me up. Don't knock me down. See, be patient. Be patient with your pastor. Be patient with your wife. Be patient with one another. See, because sometimes, I guess, somebody might poke you in the wrong way. You know, God is trying to try you maybe, using somebody else to push a button to see if you're going to be patient. What are you going to do? Are you going to pray for that person? Are you going to be patient? Are you going to tolerate? Amen. If your patience possess your soul, Paul says better things for you. Over here in Hebrews 6:9-12. But beloved, we are persuaded, you know, we are convinced, we're sure, we have a sure thing, the better things of you and things that accompany salvation through thought we thus speak. For God is not unrighteousness to forget or to overlook, he says, a work and labor of love. God is keeping track. Maybe I don't. Maybe the pastor, maybe the church is not. Maybe nobody notices what you're doing. But God is keeping track. And anyway, we don't do things so all they can see us to see how good we are. In fact, don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. Just do what you called to do. And don't expect any even thank you in return. Because if you're expecting thank you in return, in fact, you give something to somebody and somebody wants to give you something because you gave them something, what good is the giving there? If somebody gives you something and you feel that you have to give them something back, then you don't understand the purpose of giving. A gift is a gift. And I don't expect nothing in return. So if you give me something and I don't give you something back, don't get mad at me. That's how I think. Anyway, no, we like to compensate them because that's what we are, you know. Well, she did such a thing nice for me, I want to do something for her. That's not a gift. That's an exchange. Might as well exchange numbers and let's exchange presents, because that's all it is. So do whatever you're going to do, whatever God puts in your heart, and don't expect not even a thank you. Because if it's hard, if it's God working in your heart, God keeps track. See, or things. It says, God, it says, forget, overlook your work and labor of love, which you have showed toward his name, and that ye have ministered to the saints, and do minister. And we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence or persistence to the full assurance, development, come to a full assurance, a development all the way through, you know, to maturity. Of hope unto the end. Be persistent. Never get disappointed. Never get disinterested. Well, I did this and nobody even said how good or nobody even noticed. Listen, it's a lot of people here that clean the church. I don't know how many people clean the church. I know some people clean the church. And they didn't do anything so they can receive, you know, any, you know, good, you know. Good old boy, you know, whatever. You know. They do what? It's a love for the church. It's a love for the body. And everything we do, we need to do it that way. Because we love one another. Amen? It says,
And we desire that every one of you to show the same diligence, persistence, and toil, that you may not be slothful. See, that's how people get disinterested. Well, I went to the church and I did this and did that, and nobody even noticed me. Well, and that's why they don't come back. See, don't be slothful. Don't get, you know, dismayed just because, you know. Anyway, do you want to do something so you can have a praise from a human being, from another person, or you want God to give you your deserved reward? So, do what you're going to do. Do it in love. If God put it in your heart, and leave it right there. It says that you be not slothful, disinterested, become sluggard, but follow imitators of them who, through faith and patience, inherit the promise. Amen. So, patience, and I will finish, but I cover having a desire for God. To walk, you have to desire to walk with God. You have to love Him if you want to walk with Him. You have to be obedient if you want to walk with Him. And we discuss all these verses, you know, be patient with Him and with one another. We talked about being predestined unto good works. And we talked about to nature, to cultivate our love, not only for Him, but for one another. Also, we talked about that He predestined us from the beginning unto good works. See? So, walking with Jesus, it's not a miss. You already has been predestined to walk this walk. All we have to do is let go and let God, and you see how easy the walk become. You know when the walk become hard? When we walk against it. Well, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to go there. I'm not going to do that. But, you know, let's surrender our life to God. And let's follow His example. Let's imitate. That's what Paul says, imitate me as I imitate what? What? And we do the same thing. We have not seen until this age a man of God, a prophet that came and people confused him with Christ. How many of you have been confused with Christ? I want someone to say some people don't see light anymore and see the manifestation of the word of God in my flesh. That's Christ in manifestation. So this year, my prayer for the church, my desire is that we get closer to God and to one another. And we know how to do it. We have the instructions. We have the teachings. Everything that we have need this year to become better than ever is here. All we have to decide is, that's what I want to do. Amen? I want to grow this year. I want to grow and grow and grow like a tree grows and push and grow until Enoch walked with God and he grew and he grew and he grew and he was not. That's what I want to be. I want to get so close that I disappear. Now, if you don't see me in church, don't get worried. It's not that I just left you behind. It's just like I went somewhere. But that's my desire. Walk this walk until I'm no more. If that's your desire this year, to walk closer to Him, I have given you a few. There's many, many scriptures. I mean, we could pull. I just gave you about 10 or 12 of them. But there's many scriptures that tells you that this walk is possible. It's not an impossibility to walk and to be like Him. Amen. So let's stand. And let the musicians come. Let us bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight. This first month, Father, of 2023. Thank you, Lord, because here we are, Father, another year. You brought us this far. But I want your will to be done in our life, Father, in me. We give you the praise and the glory, Father, and the honor that you deserve. Thank you, Father, for caring for us, for helping us. Thank you, Father, because it's a big privilege to come into your presence in this church, Father, with my brothers and sisters, and have fellowship, have companionship. Father, have communion with them as we have communion with you. Thank you, Father, for all your blessings. Father, I just pray that you stir our hearts tonight, that we can have a closer walk with thee, so we can fulfill then your will and purpose in our life, Father. It's our desire. Father, we surrender now. We yield to you. Father, as Mary says, do unto us as you have already spoken. All I had to do is just surrender my life and say, do it, Lord. Because you call us, you predestined us already, and you have provided everything that we have need from earth to heaven. Everything that we have need is here right now. Father, all we have to do is just ask, seek, knock, Father, because you said you will open, that you will give us if we ask you. But we have to ask you, Father, for the right things. And the only right thing is you and your word, Father. Thank you again for this moment, Father, for this opportunity that we had to come together to hear your word. Father, to have fellowship around your presence. Thank you, Father, for another time, Father. But if it's another Sunday, Father, we ask him, Father, you to help us to continue walking daily, Father, following you, following your example. Father, I know that is your desire. Sometimes we think it's my desire, but it's not. The desire that I want and long to be like you is your desire in me. And if you put that desire in me, Father, you will bring it to fruition. But you will not give me a longing, a desire, and then leave me there hanging. I know that you do that because it's what you want for my life, and it's what you want. And if you want it, Father, I know you will fulfill it. Just help me to be faithful to you, and be faithful to your word, and faithful, Father, to one another. Thank you again. And we appreciate everything you have done and you're still doing. We love you, Lord. And in Jesus' name, precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we ask you these things. Amen and amen. Let's sing that song, Closer to You. Or I want to be closer. I don't know how the title of that song. Oh, I don't ask me. No, I'm sorry. I don't want to be smart. I never remember songs, and I don't know how to sing, and I don't know the tone, so I'm in the wrong place. Anyway, let's sing maybe Draw Me Near. Let's start there. Okay, let me see what they put in. How many want to be drawn near to him? Now, that's our prayer tonight. Your desire tonight. Draw me near, near, bless me, through the cross where thou hast died. Draw me near, near, bless the Lord. Another stanza on that one. Consecrate me now to thy service. strong.